Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 209, Feeling Fine, of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm one of your hosts, Eric the Moon Monster Walquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Jesse, Mr. Entrepreneur Wilson.
Oh, you are an entrepreneur, aren't you? Don't answer that yet.
Okay.
That's what we call a tease in the biz.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, Jesse and I have been really busy with stuff lately.
Dear God, I didn't know that my candle had three ends to burn. So I found out a way to burn another end on the candle.
Yeah, so I've been getting ready for my pub crawl, which is always more work than I think it's going to be. Yesterday I licked 45 envelopes, and my tongue was numb. Tomorrow...
You need, for next year...
Yeah,
one of those like little spongy things.
That's what my wife said. She's like, "For you, just use a sponge. You could just use a wet sponge." But
then you spit on the sponge.
Exactly, and then you're.
I think there's the enzymes in the spit are what actually break down the adhesive.
It's
regular water won't do it.
It's a requirement.
Yeah.
But yeah, like tomorrow. So like tomorrow, I'm going to pick up my medium badges at the convention center right after work. Then I'm coming home and I'm doing the fantasy football draft for the Arrogant Move League. And then I'm going at 9 o'clock out to Cafe Mox to hang out with the Hex 19 guys from Canada.
Oh, so jelly.
Yeah, I know, right?
What?
So, and then between now and then, I have to get everything done for the pub crawl.
Remember when we were camping, I was like, you got a lot of work to do. And you're like, I'll just do it on Monday.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of it on Monday. Did a lot of it yesterday, doing a lot of it tonight, so... speaking of which, we went camping this past weekend.
Sure did.
In Allen Wake, apparently.
It was so cold.
It was freaking freezing. We camped on the north side of the Olympic Peninsula, which is, the home of, for those who don't know, the home of the only temperate rainforest in the contiguous United States.
And I thought the only temperate rainforest in the world.
Yeah, well, technically it runs, that temperate rainforest runs along the coast from... all the way from, like, Alaska to
gotcha.
California or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was freaking freezing, and the mists of Rillier coming in, it was just, like, the most eerie thing. It, like, coming in, and it didn't rain. We were just inside a cloud.
Yeah, it was inside a cloud, and then at night, it sounded like it was raining, but it was just the condensation from the leaves of the trees getting shaken off by the wind.
Because you were literally, like, in a cloud.
Yeah.
We were in the cloud with Steve Jobs.
And it was cold. The cold cloud with the cold, dead corpse of Steve Jobs.
It was so cold, dude. And I brought one sweatshirt, so... Party fell on me, but still a fun camping trip. We got to have a fire this time, which was definitely a plus.
Yes, and we took full advantage of that.
Yeah, we burned. We burned, baby. All right, well, let's get into it here. We have some big news. I want to lead off with this news. We do have a lot of phone calls this week, but I want to lead off with this. We're actually going to do something a little different. This is a TurboCast, guys, so just hold on to your butts, because we're going to change it up a little bit. Jesse, what's our first topic this week?
I want to talk about a little Kickstarter project that I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And by little Kickstarter project, I mean a giant, potentially life-altering dream project that I need everyone's help to get funded.
Let's do it, buddy.
So, for the people that have been listening from episode one, you and I have been through a lot. I was living up in Bellingham. We've gotten different jobs. We've met our significant others. Each of us gotten married. I've had a baby.
Yeah.
And I've advanced. Like, I didn't even brew. I didn't even know anything about brewing when I started.
Yeah.
And now I've worked my way up. And I'm launching a Kickstarter that will launch on the day that this episode is airing.
I think it's going to launch the day after. This one's going to air on Thursday.
Oh, this is going up Thursday. Okay, yeah. So if you're listening on Thursday, tomorrow, what I need you to do is go to Kickstarter.com and search Lovecraft Brewing Company.
Right. And we'll link it on our Facebook page. We'll link it on Bald Move Facebook page. We're going to link the shit out of this, guys.
We're going to link this everywhere.
We're going to link it like Ocarina of Time.
We'll just link all over the place.
Link it all over.
Yeah, so... You can also Google Facebook, and then from Facebook, find the Lovecraft Brewing Company Facebook page, so there'll be more information there. I need you to like that, to spread the word.
Right.
I need you to donate on the Kickstarter page, because I'm trying to raise $30,000.
It takes a lot to get a brewery off the ground.
It takes a ton of money, because I have to buy a lot of steel and copper.
Right.
A ridiculous amount of precious metals to make this work. And I'm going for it.
And in the post-apocalypse, we promise that you can go and raid it for its precious metals.
Yeah,
if it ever
exactly.
comes to that.
That will be used as currency
yes.
in the future.
But no, this is huge, dude. So you are starting a freaking brewery.
Yeah, and I'm starting a brewery in Bremerton, Washington.
Yes, and people, you know, have asked this forever now, largely on my lethargic part, haven't taken advantage of this. People have asked this forever now. How can we support the show?
Right,
and guys,
yes.
If you want to support Personal Arrogance, support Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter. Like, this is our rallying cry. This is just like this isn't just Jesse and Mike's podcast. This is your podcast. Like, this is your brewery, dude. You
right.
can be an investor. You can get it on the ground floor.
You can make it.
You can make this thing happen. Be a Founders Club member, right?
Founders Club, yeah. And the thing is, it's not going to happen without your support. So not only
exactly.
can you help me get this going, you must help me get this going, because it's not going to happen without your support. And I don't want to take up too much time with this, because I don't want it to sound like an ad, but we've got all sorts of cool t-shirts, glassware, mm-hmm. really great stuff, limited edition art. And what's really cool is Eric did all the fancy art.
Yeah, so all the graphic design I did.
And he made the video.
Yeah, and I did the video as well. And there's a cool poster that Jesse's brother-in-law did.
Right.
But yeah, the logo and everything, that was like, this is definitely... This isn't just a passion project for Jesse. Like, I am all in on this thing as well. So, guys, like I said, if you want to support Personal Arrogance, get on Kickstarter and throw some money at Lovecraft Brewing Company. Because, like, this is like a dream, dude.
This is me swinging for the fences and trying to make my dream come true, my family's dream come true. I mean, it would totally change my life in
right?
a great, awesome spectacular way, and give me a lot of interesting stuff to talk about on the podcast, for sure.
Absolutely.
As so, I make the transition into trying to become a small business owner.
Yeah, dog. And I just want to, like, where did the germ of Lovecraft Brewing Company come from?
You mean the name, or?
Just the idea of, like, when did you decide, hey, I want to have my own brewery, and I want to blaze my own trail this way?
I guess I've just always been inspired by other brewers, you know, especially the founding people who decided to make an industry out of nothing and pioneer craft beer, and found this niche that people obviously wanted. And then, you know, craft brewing exploded in the 90s, and then that bubble burst because a bunch of people were trying to just cash in, basically, and made terrible beer.
Right.
But what survived out of that was a lot of entrepreneurs who knew how to weather the storm and knew how, you know, knew to make beer your priority. Otherwise, you're never going to survive. And I just have always respected the people who are able to make the leap like that.
Yeah, and really put beer first. I mean,
beer is where first,
it's at.
Definitely.
And the beers that you're going to be making, and you've already done test batches of all these, which are delicious, but the beers that you're making, they're a little different too. So what distinguishes your beers?
Well, I'm heavily inspired by farmhouse beers. That is, the beers from Northern Belgium and Northern France,
mm-hmm.
because I really like beers that have a lot of yeast character to offer. So beers like the Beer de Garde and Saisons are of the farmhouse variety. So I bring them with Brettanomyces, which is considered a quote-unquote wild yeast, because in parts of the world as well, but these are totally domesticated. You could buy them in a packet from White Labs or Y Yeast. But it adds a tartness and a different yeast character that you don't get in your, you know, average craft beer that you might pick up at a supermarket. So I'm trying to differentiate the beers from what's on the market.
Well,
and at the same time, also brewing a traditional Northwest style IPA and a black IPA.
Yeah, beautiful Cascadian dark ale. Yeah, and the thing is, like, I've had sour beers, and, like, sour beers, like, you know, I've had them, and, like, they're not something I drink on a regular basis. What you're making is not necessarily a sour beer. You're making farmhouse ales.
Yeah, I'm doing a mixed fermentation of Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is your traditional ale yeast, as well as Brettanomyces, the so-called wild yeast. And sour beers are usually, you're using lactobacillus, which is a bacteria, actually, to create that lactic acid. And Brettanomyces creates a little bit of lactic acid, but not like that puckering tartness that you would get from an American sour.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, I've talked about it before on here. Elder God, your Elder God Beardegard is like one of my favorite beers. And that's like awesome. Like I said, I don't really drink sour beers. This beer tastes like a mixture of like champagne and hops and cider and like so complex in a way that a lot of people don't associate with especially like inland European beers. This has a huge complexity to it, and it's so drinkable and delicious. And this is our listeners' opportunity to drink all of that beer that you've been producing over time. Get an Elder God, get an Elder God Beardegard in their hands. If they want to do that, then support the Kickstarter.
Yes, definitely. So that's how you do it.
Yep.
Go on Kickstarter and search Lovecraft Brewing Company. If you Google it, our Facebook page comes up, and you can like us there, and we'll redirect you to where you need to go. And I really, 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 really need you guys to support me, because like I said, I'm asking for a lot of money. I'm asking for a realistic amount of money to make this happen.
Yeah, and, give what you can, guys. And like I said, if you want to support this podcast, this is the way to support the podcast. Yeah. Obviously, $1,000 is a lot of money, but there's something super cool at the $1,000 level. You actually get a chance to come to Bremerton and brew a production-level batch of beer with Jesse and architect that beer and create a brand-new brew.
Right.
Such an awesome Kickstarter. I just had to mention that. I mean, that's at the $1,000. There's a ton of levels. You can get the Lovecraft t-shirt. You can get pint glasses. You can get growlers. You can get a custom made screen print. There's a lot of stuff. You get hoodies. But that $1,000 level, dude, that is like one of the coolest, stretch goals that I've ever, or one of the coolest, pledge rewards that I've ever seen on Kickstarter.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that. Not that $1,000 is a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, if only 30 of you do that, then we got it made.
Yeah, exactly. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, once again, Lovecraft, all one word, Brewing Company, find it on Kickstarter and, please support us because this is huge.
This is the biggest thing I've ever attempted in my life.
Huge. This is like seriously a turning point.
That includes bringing up a human being into the world.
Yeah, Jesse's baby does make a cameo in the Kickstarter video. So.
That's true, yeah. So for nothing else, watch the Kickstarter video to see what my adorable Russell Nisha looks like.
There you go. So anyway, we're going to be pimping this for the next 60 days, so you'll hear about it.
But donate 20. Now. Don't wait.
But donate now. Let's kick this thing off with a bang. So
bang.
Let's do it. All right, man. So let's move on to some voicemails. We got a ton of voicemails this week, and as always, we appreciate it when you call us at 360-362-0024. We're going to start it off with a voicemail from the 559. Here it is.
Hey, boys. First-time caller. Love the show. It's Mikey in Fresno. I'm also a fellow podcaster. I got four podcasts because it's an addiction. Don't count. For podcasts, that's a craft beer podcast. Get off my pops and fully finished. But anyway, I'm calling because I've been married a long time, and after a while, your wife can get sick of you. I think the quote is, "I'm sick of your shit." And what I need to do is, she likes board games. We haven't really played board games very much lately, so I need to, step up my game and maybe find something cool for couples to play. We used to play nothing, major, but, I don't know, we used to play Sorry. That's pretty deep in the board gaming geek world, so I don't know if you know that game, but I mean, we used to play more board games than we do now, and so I'm looking for a reco for a good couples game that something worth getting into. Doesn't necessarily have to be a newish game, but something you'd like you'd play with your wife / girlfriend or wife and girlfriend, whichever. But just look for that reco. You guys are awesome. You have amazing chemistry. Very jealous as a podcast. I'm very jealous of your chemistry. You just cannot duplicate that. It's just no matter how hard you try. But anyway, boys, get off my back.
Thanks, Mikey. Get off my back. And Mikey, he said he's from the Dorktown podcast. Dorktown quietly has been a supporter of Personal Arrogance for a very long time. We never mentioned it before, but they're an oft retweeter of our tweets, and very happy that Mikey called in. I like the chemistry quote. It's like, well, we only podcast with people we've known for at least 15 years. That's the secret, guys.
It's a thorough vetting process.
Yeah, know somebody for over a decade, then start podcasting. Mm-hmm. I guess Aaron and Jim aren't, but they're kindred spirits.
Right, yeah. Separated at birth.
They're soul brothers. But anyway, this is great for you, man. You play a lot of board games with your wife.
I try to. I'm not going to recommend Agricola because it's just such a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth buying on the off chance that you might like it. I mean, it's my favorite game to play with my wife.
Yeah.
But I think we're in the minority on that one. But games, I mean, two-player games tend to be strategy games.
Yeah.
And strategy games that I like are two-player Blockus, Hive, and there's Cathedral, which is like a kind of a... It's a wood... piece mm-hmm. laying game, sort yeah. of like Blockus is, but a little bit different rules. It's got a real nice aesthetic to it.
So I found out at Card Kingdom down here in Seattle, the board game store, that Blockus Duo no longer in print.
What?
Yeah,
that's one of the perfect games.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is a perfect game. I went there and I was like, hey, because I always check it out, especially if I'm with new gamers. I'm like, can we play? Can we get Blockus Duo? Because they have a great checkout library there at Card Kingdom. And I was talking to the woman behind the counter, and she was like, oh, actually, we don't have that anymore. We lost too many of the pieces, and it's now out of print, so we can't order a new one.
That sucks.
And I was like, what?
It used to, they've had a weird history with the two-player Blockus, because originally it was called Travel Blockus.
Hmm.
But it's a different game. It's two players instead of four. What yeah. you could do, I was actually thinking about this, is you could take if you found the rules to Blockus Duo online in a PDF form or something, you could yeah. take a normal Blockus board and, Sharpie out.
Oh, that's totally true.
The part that yeah. you would play on with two players yeah. and just isolate yourself to that and, like, Sharpie on the starting positions, because you don't start playing from a corner, you start sort of near the middle.
Yeah.
And then you could just take one set of colors and you could play from there.
Yeah, and so, and the game's, that's a brilliant idea, because that gives you four-player Blockus and two-player Blockus yeah. in a single box. So, yeah, Blockus, from any angle, get Blockus. Blockus is a great game. The games that my wife and I play, we play, a Love Letter a lot, because that's a game that takes about 10 minutes to play with two players, and it's super
yeah, I still
easy
won't
to learn.
Play that.
So we play a lot of Love Letter. We play Seasons, although we don't play it as much anymore because my wife is amazing at Seasons, and for some reason I am terrible at Seasons. I don't know what it is. She just destroys me every single time. But I gotta.
Tasha started killing me at Hive.
Yeah. I gotta start playing that again, because that's no reason to stop playing a game, especially a good game like Seasons. So, Seasons is really good. It's a little more complex. But all the, like, you know, it's the type of game where all the rules are printed on the cards, so that's good. And then we've been playing Quantum. We play that two-player as well. Although, you and I played Quantum two-player, and I don't think you really like the experience.
No, it's just not a good two-player game for me.
Yeah, and I think maybe we could try a different map. I think
just
that there's
quickly
some circumstantial
what I'll say
stuff.
About Quantum is I had a ton of fun playing at three-player.
Yeah.
and almost zero fun playing a two-player.
Right, because it kind of became a stalemate when playing two-player.
But I'm not dogging on Quantum at all. I'm really excited to play it three-player, four-player again because I had so much fun.
Yeah, and like I said, we could try a different map. I think that
I need to do it as a head-to-head game.
Yeah, well, Lydia and I play it head-to-head, and we enjoy it.
Yeah. No, and again, just I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not really up my alley.
Yeah. But the amount, when we played it three-player, the amount of theme that you get out of that game, having it just be dice, is amazing. They, like, wring those dice out as hard as possible to get the theme out of there. And it drips with theme without having a lot of thematic elements, which is an amazing feat.
What about Citadels also?
Citadels is such
a
good
two-player. I haven't played that in a while. I really need to bust it out.
Yeah, two-player especially. I love two-player.
Two-player's a real mindfuck.
Yeah, and I love it because, and this is some like inside shit, guys. So if this goes over your head, don't worry about it. But I love it because the bishop and the magician always end up being the two that you don't grab.
The magician.
And then, yeah.
I'm glad I can remember that, but I have a hard time remembering the vice president. Is it Dick Cheney? I do know the magician.
Yeah. Although the bishop is a great card. And the magician is undervalued, I feel.
Magician can swing a game.
Swing it right around, baby.
Except he always gets assassinated when you really need to use him.
Yeah.
It's hard to conceal the fact that you have one card and you need five.
Okay, guys, Citadels is such a good game. Like, Jesse and I are about to jump into like an hour-long Citadels discussion.
Right.
We're gonna spare you that, but get Citadels. It's so good.
Yeah, and it's cheap.
And it's super cheap. Yeah, all of these games are like under $30. So, all the games that we mentioned, except for Agricola. So,
yeah, and like I said, don't buy that unless you know you already want it.
Right. Okay, cool. Let's get to some more voicemails here. And by the way, Sorry, I actually, that's one of my favorite, like, Fred Meyer games.
I've been playing a lot of Sorry, Not Sorry lately. It's the expansion.
Yeah. It's a roll and move, but you have two pawns, which makes it kind of fun. I played a lot of it as a kid. Anyway, here's the next voicemail. Hello?
You might have to jump ahead. On this one.
Oh, okay. Anything? Here we go.
I knew some folks from Seattle and Bremerton and whatnot. But anyways, it was pretty cool. You guys should try some East Coast beers, stuff from Georgia and Alabama, stuff like Sweetwater, stuff like Lazy Magnolia and other things. But did you guys send those guys down there? Because one of them tried to get on my back when I flipped them in the rapid, and it was pretty awkward and all this kind of stuff. Whatever. But anyways, come to Columbus, Georgia. Let's go rafting. And by the way, if you were a raft guide, what would your nickname be? My other coworkers wanted to be Shoebox McGuthrie or Gibney Skittle Cheese. I don't know. Folks call me Will, but they've jokingly called me Priest because I'm an ordained minister, still am, but they don't necessarily work as reverend anymore. Anyways, it's a pleasure talking to you guys. Stay arrogant. Dang, get off my back!
Wow. That
I think we missed some info.
That is a fucking voicemail.
Yeah.
I literally spit out my... Because it's a twist and turns, man. I mean, so obviously something went wrong there. I don't know what your name is. I know you're from Georgia, which is awesome. Another Heartland call-in. So apparently the first, like, half of that voicemail got completely cut off by Google Voice. But so many things...
Yeah, apparently he knows someone from Bremerton, something about rafting.
And then, what would your raft guide name be? I don't even know what that... I didn't even know raft guides had nicknames.
I'm going with Strikewater.
Oh, I like it. It's almost like Skywalker.
It is.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Gangly Green.
Ooh.
Because I'm a little gangly.
Ooh, how about Beaver Fever?
Beaver Fever, now that's good. But that would only be good if you're from Oregon.
Yeah, that's true.
I like to be called Apple Cup. So, and ordained minister. Just throwing it all on there, the last half. I'm sorry that the first half of that got cut off, but...
Yeah,
I
feel like I missed out on a lot of other great twists and turns.
I know, it twists and turns just like a rapid.
Yeah, but maybe like the rapid, that the beginning was like the calm before the rapid.
Exactly, and then you hit those rapids and it just twists and turns. So thank you, mystery caller from Georgia. That's awesome. And
I would love to try some Southeast beers, but we can't get them here. And also, I don't trust the distribution to keep them fresh. So It'll have to wait until we take this podcast on the road.
Yeah, until Bipax Atlanta.
I really want to go to Dragon Con.
Yeah, but it's during PAX.
I know, but I might.
That's like the
year.
It's like the first thing of like, okay, I guess I'm not going then.
Yeah,
like, is it during? That's the first question of any event. Is it during PAX? Yeah, okay, I'm not going.
But one of these days, when I have some money,
yeah,
I'll do like PAX Australia that year to make up for missing PAX Prime, and then also do Dragon Con.
Well, I mean, PAX Prime also goes into Monday now, which means that you could do Friday, Saturday Dragon Con, Red Eye, Sunday, Monday PAX.
This is how super viruses spread.
That's completely true. Oh, man, so funny. Up next, we got another voicemail from our good buddy, Michael McBride. Here he is.
Hey, Jesse and Eric, or Levi, depending on if need be. Just wanted to tell y'all something that I've been wanting to figure out. So, I am a D&D virgin. And I would like to figure out how to get my choice off on that. Okay? I mean, that'd be cool if I could get it done with y'all guys, but I don't know how to do that, so. Alright, guys. Stay arrogant and get off my back.
I love that Michael said, I am a D&D virgin, like a 16-year-old would say, I am a virgin.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I got something to tell you guys.
It's a secret.
I am a virgin.
Don't tell the other guys.
Don't tell the other guys.
Don't tell the other guys on the water polo team.
Definitely not virgins. anyway, this is kind of an interesting thing. You came up with a good idea. I don't think we should completely reveal it, but we are thinking about ways that we can incorporate our listeners into D&D games in the future. So, so keep your ears peeled there. And if not, guys, apparently, you'll hear in the Facebook roundup, but apparently there's becoming this, this D&D, focus group happening for personal arrogance listeners. So keep your ears to the ground. And, like I said, I'm going to keep trying to, live stream all of our D&D sessions so that people can at least live vicariously through Levi. He can have at least one use.
Yeah.
That can be it.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got here? Oh, it's another email from, another voicemail from Michael McBride, the serial caller. Here he is.
Serial caller.
All right, here we go.
Hey, this is me again. I'm the D&D version. I don't believe I said who it was. It's Michael McBride from Virginia. I figured I'd say it. Just call, make sure everybody knows. Okay, guys, so you're gonna get off my back.
Okay. Michael, we know your area code by now. I've almost got your phone number committed to memory, so we know it's you, 757.
We should do a fan phone call segment.
I love it. The next one we got coming up from, we could do like live phone-ins. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we call them, though.
Exactly.
We'll prank,
prank call them.
We got a frame job for Susie.
We're going to like prank call them. And then they'll be like, who were those assholes? And then the next week they'll be on the podcast and then they'll be elated.
Yeah.
Slow burn.
That's how we become a morning show.
Perfect.
You're listening to T-Bone and Chaz.
T-Bone and Chaz. Kimio and the Bone. 69.9.
Time for another bone call.
Anyway, here comes the next phone call. Here it is.
Hey guys, this is Jay in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, or another name is Shark Bite Capital of the USA. Yeah, I'm just calling to touch base with you guys. Yesterday I was putting together a vacuum cleaner or steam cleaner for carpet, and I had a Pacific Rim on, and I got interested, or excited, seen some research. They're coming out with a second one, or there's talks about coming out with a second one. It's one of my favorite movies. I know, Eric, you like it a lot, and I don't know if you guys have any more info on that, but, yeah, I can't wait if it does come out. And I'm with Robert Dotsy, Connect the Dotsy. I love all of yours, and I'm excited. Ball is here. Can't wait to get some new ones, try some new ones. Yeah, and stay arrogant and get off my back.
Get off my back, Jay. Calling back after a while.
Love it.
Thank you, Jay, for calling in. I also like this because Jay, excited for fall beers. I believe, like, the first time he called us, he was drinking, like, Bud Light Lime. So I like to think that we might have given him a little bit of influence. So this
you
is very
grow
exciting.
With us in this podcast.
You do. You grow with us. And so the thing about this Pacific Rim 2 thing is you cannot believe anything that Guillermo del Toro says. The man is unreliable from an information standpoint. I'm directing The Hobbit. I'm not directing The Hobbit. Like, basically everything that he says is not going to happen. I'm making the Mountains of Madness movie. I'm not making the Mountains of Madness movie. Actually, I am making the Mountains of Madness movie. Right. He also said that he's not directing Hellboy 3. So my prediction, no Pacific Rim 2, yes on Hellboy 3.
I feel bad for his mom. Like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll come to Thanksgiving. Oh, actually, there's another project yep. I'm working on. But I'll definitely be there for Christmas. Christmas was canceled. The studio won't let me do Christmas.
Studio won't let me do... Actually, Peter Jackson's coming in my place.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's
actually,
pretty good.
Fine.
Yeah, he's going to shave his beard a little bit, and he's going to wear round glasses. You won't notice a difference.
I have no idea what Guillermo del Toro looks like. I assumed he was like some sort of suave Spaniard looking
No,
guy.
He's not, dude.
Oh, really? I gotta Google this.
No. Guillermo del Toro is like the nerdiest. He's exactly what you think of when you think of a nerdy dude.
But he has the coolest name.
I know, it's awesome. I can't believe you don't know what he looks like. No, Guillermo.
What?
Yeah.
He looks like our friend Mars.
Oh, he does look like Mars a little bit. He's got a little bit of Mars. He's definitely nerdier and fatter than Mars is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, dude, he's not suave at all.
Never has there been such a bad, non-fitting name.
He's from Mexico.
He's like if Mars and Justin McElroy had a baby.
I was actually thinking about this today. Like, why the hell do Americans have, like, the most bland names? Like,
my name is Jeff Johnson.
Well, the weird thing about it is that, so this is kind of weird. It's a weird way to come about this, but I was thinking about Robin Williams. Like, Robin Williams passing, and, like, maybe him being in some history book in, like, 500 years as, like, a representative of comedy from a certain era. Like, this guy was, like, the court jester for America in the late 20th century. But then people reading, like, Robin Williams? You have, like, that, or you have, like, Napoleon Bonaparte. Or you have, like Guillermo del Toro. Like, these names are so much better than the Americanized versions of names.
Yeah.
Like, Wahlquist.
I was thinking something just the other day about, well, is this... perfectly is the distinction between your brain and my brain, because we were both thinking about how Americans make names sound bad, but yeah. I was thinking about Yasser Arafat.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Yasser Arafat is such an ugly, weird name. And I was like, oh, I bet in his language it was like Yasser Arafat, like something
totally.
But like, as soon as you anglicize it, it's like Yasser Arafat.
Yasser Arafat.
It just sounds so bad.
Yeah, that's like when people say Iraq. Like, the name of the country is Iraq.
Iraq.
But you could call it Iraq.
Iraq. anyway.
No, it's like, that's like, you know, there's people in, like, in baseball, especially this comes up because, like, in the Caribbean, they have, like, the craziest, coolest names that you could never get away with in, like, American grade school. Like, Unieski Betancourt. How
that
do you
is, like,
come up?
Great name.
How do you get the name Unieski Betancourt? And what if, like, that, and it's probably just normal. Like, he's from the Netherlands Antilles. Like, it's probably just normal down there. Or, like, in Cuba, you have Yeonis Cespedes. That is an amazing name. But, like, I can't name my kid Yeonis.
Right.
Anyway.
No, you cannot.
I can't. It's just going to be another Robert. God damn it. I'm having a great time on this listener feedback section.
Yeah.
One more. Finally, we're just going to wrap this up with another final voicemail from Mr. Michael McBride. Here he is.
Oh. Serial caller.
The serial caller. Here he is.
Hey, Michael McBride. I know I already called this week, but I found out something yesterday that is completely up your aisle. I don't know if you ever heard of Austin, the Austin Brewing Company. I think it's I don't remember the exact name, the actual brewing company. But they have a beer pack that is probably the most epic beer pack ever to exist ever. It's their Peacemaker beer. It is a 99 pack. It literally has 99 beers in it for $99. A dollar a beer. Yes, it's an extreme investment to get the thing. They only made 99 of the packs. But I thought it was one of the most awesome things I've ever heard of. I was like, why couldn't we get a major brewery like one that Jesse works at, or we could get another company to just do something like that where they have a 99 pack or something like that. Because it's just completely crazy. You should go to a little watch the video. Like I said, the Peacemaker beer, I don't know if it's an ale or IPA or what it was. But it's like, it was the first one that this company had ever made, I'm pretty sure. But you should totally go watch it. It's hilarious. The box is ridiculously long. It's like about the length of longer than a Mini Cooper. the box, just the box that it's in. It is really crazy. It's really funny at the same time. But I would totally buy one of those if I lived over where they had sold them. All right, guys. Stay arrogant and get off my back.
Get off my back, Michael. Yeah, this is awesome, dude. Have you seen this?
No.
It's from Awesome Beer Works. I think they're called Awesome Beer Works. It's their session ale. The Peacemaker, it's like a session ale. So it's, you know, something you could drink all day. So like, since you could drink it all day, we're just going to give you 99 of them. And like in the video, they show him like pulling the box out of the refrigerator at the convenience store. Mm-hmm. And then like at first it just looks like a normal 12 pack. And then it just like keeps on coming. And then it's like this thing. If you were to just carry it under your arm, like four guys could carry it under their arms.
That's awesome.
How long the box is, which I think is perfect. And I think next coming up, the 200 pack. Got to double it.
There you go.
But I do love this idea. And I also love, I actually think that's extremely reasonably priced. 99 beers for 99 bucks.
That's a great deal.
It's like the 6 foot Subway, you know?
If you had the 6 foot sub next to the 99 pack.
Yeah.
That is a company, barbecue done and done.
How many beers is in a keg?
130.
Okay.
Pints.
Oh, that's
so
pints.
I'm guessing there were probably 12 ounces.
Yeah, these are 12 ounces. So it's, but like a keg can run you like 140 bucks, right?
Oh yeah.
Easy. 140 and then upward.
Yeah.
So this is, you have a party, you get 10 people to come to your party because you have some friends, but not a lot. And each person pitches in 10 bucks and gets to drink 10 beers.
Love it.
Amazing. This is like Super Bowl party. This is a Super Bowl party written all over it. And the great thing would be is that, like, remember in the old, I don't know if they still do this or not, but remember when they started making the skinny 12 packs for like sodas and you would just rip off like the corner and then they would kind of roll down to the front
for cans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They need to do this so you can stand it up and then just open the bottom and then just keep dispensing them out of the bottom.
That's awesome. Yeah. Except like the column pressure would like shatter the glass.
Oh no, they're not glass. They're all in cans.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these are canned beers.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. So this is a self-dispensing 6 foot delicious 99 pack.
But you couldn't like put it in your refrigerator.
Yeah. All right, man. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to get on some trivia this week. Thank you so much for calling us, guys. Remember, you can get in touch with us, 360-362-0024, or send us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, let's move on to some trivia. So I wanted to – I finished all the trivia sheets for my pub crawl.
Ooh.
Because that's an element of the pub crawl is that there's going to be trivia at each stop, just like a pub trivia, except everybody's in character and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be great. But I wanted to test some of this trivia on you because I'm not sure if it's too easy or if it's too hard.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Okay. So one of the things in this trivia, and this is also a nice little spoiler for people. So the listeners that actually show up to the pub crawl, they could be like, oh, I heard this on the podcast, so I know it's right. So
they'll be like, what's a podcast?
So, Jesse... first question for you, and these are multiple answer questions. So the first question for you is, can you name all of the schools in the Ivy League? There are 8 of them. Can you name all 8?
No.
Go for it.
Harvard, Yale, Cornell?
Yep.
Okay. Harvard, Yale, Cornell. Princeton?
Yes.
Notre Dame?
No.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay, Jesse, so you're done with that one. So you got 3, that's good. Because you're going to have 8 people in the group.
Right, I got the easy ones.
Yeah.
Cambridge?
No, Cambridge is in England.
Australian National University.
There you go. All right, the next question is, can you name the 8 Major League Baseball teams that have non-human animals as their nicknames?
Okay. Non-human animals.
Yes.
I don't know if I... Diamondbacks.
That's one. That's the tough one for me. That's the one that I think might slip people. So you got that right off the bat.
Marlins.
Yep. You're doing pretty well here.
Blue Jays.
Yep.
Now, I mean, this doesn't make for great radio, so...
I love it, the thinking.
I think I can hear the gears running out of steam here.
Well, just think there's
Oh, Cardinals!
Oh, the Cardinals, you got it.
There's birds. Birds are the key.
Birds are the key. There's one more bird. No eagles. There's one more bird.
Falcons?
Nope.
Oh, shit. White...
The white doves?
The white doves.
Nope. The Chicago
Cubs
white
doves. Are on there.
The Cubs are, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You got 5.
I don't think I'm going to get any more.
The Cubs is tough. You also have the Orioles.
Oh, birds.
Yeah, there are actually none in the American League West, but you got the one in the National League West and the Diamondbacks. The Rays. You missed the Rays from Tampa Bay. And then there's one final one, which is escaping me right now.
It's Giants. I mean, technically not human.
I love it. Oh, man. Somebody better not come to me with that. I'm going to punch him in the nose. Yeah, what is the other one? It's in the Central? I don't know. I can't remember. Whatever. Great pod.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, Jesse, so let's move on to our final topic this week, and that's PAX, baby. PAX, oh my god, PAX. So not only do we have so much shit going on in our lives, but PAX is also happening.
This is a 0 hour.
It's a 0 hour, man.
Oh my god, just a vent a little bit. Worse than a punch in the face. Uh-huh. I sold my tickets.
Yep.
Right? So I needed to ship them up to Bellingham. I get like the priority one day mail.
Yep.
Set them out on Monday. Still haven't arrived.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, USPS.
Why didn't you just do a handoff at the show?
Because she didn't want to schedule, like, the meetup thing, and I was like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of hassle. I'll just do this thing where it gets there tomorrow with the one day.
Oh, God.
Well, and they're like, yeah, it'll get there tomorrow. I was like, that sounds great. Let's do that. Yeah. I'll spend extra for that.
Yeah. This happened to me when I was doing the board game exchange.
Oh, yeah?
I did the priority flat rate box, which is $12. And the other guy did the priority flat rate box, which is $12. He was in California. Okay. Uh-huh. He's in Anaheim. So my package got to him in one day. They put it on a plane. It was in Anaheim in one day. No big deal. Put it on Alaska Airlines, just buckled it into the economy. It got
Russell
Wilson was there. It got an exit row. It was really nice. My package got sent to Pittsburgh.
Oh, Jesus.
From Anaheim. Sat there for 3 days. Because that's the thing about priority mail, right? You could track the package.
Yep.
So, yeah, it sat there for 3 days in Philadelphia and then finally flew out to me through Cleveland. It took 5 days for the priority mail.
Christ.
So.
Mine left Federal Way this morning at 1:59 a.m., so I'm really hoping it gets there.
Yeah, it should get there today.
It should.
Ugh, that's rough, man. Yeah, that is worse than a punch in the face. Like, you can't say it's priority mail and then not make it priority mail.
Yeah. And it's just like, this is one of the little things just on top of everything.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's every little thing now expounds.
Anyway. So, PAX.
PAX, though. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff lined up for PAX. I think we definitely want to hit up the Fantasy Flight booth and talk about all the games that we've been talking about for, like, the last 3 weeks. The other thing is that we're going to be going to the 2K booth. We have some time booked with them, so we're going to be covering the new Borderlands game. Excitingly, the new Civ game, which goes to outer space, and then their new game Evolve. So we're going to be hitting up all the 2K stuff. There's also, I'm definitely going to be doing a run through of the Indie Mega Booth. So we're going to be, I mean, Indie Mega Booth last year was like the number one place to be. So there's a great new game. I can't remember what it's called, but it's, I think it's called Screen Looker. And this is one of my favorite things, because in the game, it's a first-person shooter PvP game, but you are invisible to all other players. Which means, I mean, you're invisible, you're invisible to all other players, which means that the other players have to watch your screen in order to see where you are.
That's amazing.
It's so cool, because not only does screen watching, like, hold a great place in my heart, because it represents in-room PvP playing, which is a lost art. Everything is online now.
Screen watcher!
This is straight up Halo 2 in the room, on my big screen TV, my two big screen TV in my dorm room in Tacoma, circa 2006. Like, that's what this is, and yelling at people for screen watching.
Mm-hmm.
This is
such a funny thing to accuse someone of screen watching.
Yeah, this is like back in the days when you couldn't just sit there and camp and snipe because people knew where you were. Because they screen watched.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, dude. Like, this idea I really love, because you have to screen watch in this game.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They were able to take a tiny thing that came out of gamer culture and turn it into an entire game, which is awesome. So there's that. There's a couple CCGs that are digital that I want to try out, which I'm very excited about. Because of what Hearthstone has done, I feel like digital might be the place for CCGs. Even though I don't really like spending money on virtual cards. But so we're gonna be at PAX, dude. We're gonna be doing all that stuff, and we have our media access, which means we have Wi-Fi access, which means that I'm gonna be recording a bunch of stuff on my phone, and we're gonna be posting it up throughout the weekend. So keep an eye out for that.
Right.
Oh, PAX. I feel like it's kind of a good thing, though, because, like, it's on top of everything else, but at the same time, you get to hit send on your Kickstarter and then go to PAX.
That is true. I hadn't even really thought about that. I'm not going to be, like, at home agonizing, refreshing, being like, why doesn't anyone love me?
Yeah, exactly. So we could just, it's like, I mean, PAX is my vacation. PAX is my Christmas. PAX is love. PAX is life.
This is the first time I've ever taken the Friday and Monday off around it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing all 4 days. I've never done 4 days before. Cool. I'm going to have a lot of fun. The pub crawl is going to be banging.
Yeah, and I registered us for a couple of parties, too, so.
Yeah, I saw one of those, and it's like a Monday at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's kind of like the post-PAX party, but it's like indie games and free beer. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell for me to stick around on Monday night.
It's only like 6 o'clock. You're going to want a free beer at 6 o'clock on Monday.
We shall see.
We shall see.
No promises.
And then there's also this thing called the HP Pubcraft Love Crawl, which is happening on Saturday night, which is my big event.
Dear God. And it's important for me, too.
Yeah. It'll be good, man. I'm excited about it. There's a chance of showers, which kind of bums me out, but
that makes it even spookier.
It makes it super spookier, because we all know that camping in Alan Wake was the spookiest thing of all time. And also Scoopy, if you are at a ice cream parlor.
Yeah. Spooky all right. Scoops.
All right, dude. Well, this is a TurboCast, which means we need to be under 60 minutes. That means we need to get to the Facebook Roundup. But before we do, let's tell you about BaldMove.com. Guys, just go to BaldMove.com. You know by now. I don't have to tell you any shit about this. You know BaldMove.
Get to BaldMove.
Do it. Okay, TurboCast. Let's keep going. Facebook Roundup, guys. I think I did like a little double switch on the Facebook Roundup, which made people like not Facebook Roundup this week.
Whoops.
Which is kind of hilarious. Because I was like, oh shit, they Facebook round up the shit out of this. Oh no, wait, that's on the other one. So check out the Facebook post from last week because there's a bunch of gamer tags in here. But this week I was like, hey, y'all, Jesse and Eric are swamped with big projects and packs right now, but that doesn't mean they won't be doing a Turbo podcast tonight. Consider this your rapid-fire Facebook roundup. I think that might have been a little ambiguous, and Rollo Tomasi called me out on it. He said, whoa, classic misdirect with this Facebook post. He did say, I played D&D for the first time and even DM'd a few weeks ago. It was the most fun. 3 hours went so quick. Any listeners want to start a Skype campaign? I'm looking at you, James Patterson, and Roger Dotsy. I want to play more often. Let's do it. So I would love it, dude. And I don't know if I could commit to a campaign because I think I'm actually in two campaigns right now. I think two campaigns is enough, but I would definitely guest RP.
Yeah, I might be interested in a guest at one point or something.
I'll
but
fly
like
him.
I said, we have something in store.
Yes.
In the future.
Exactly. And then finally, Heath from St. Louis says, might be too late on this, but this is super important. NHL expansion. Reports are leaking that the NHL plans to expand by a 2017 to four markets, Quebec City, Las Vegas, Toronto to get a second team, and Seattle. This is groundbreaking to a hockey fan like me. I give you permission to drop the St. Louis Blues as the official team of the podcast. If you get an expansion, tell me your thoughts. That is my thought. Heath, that was the bargain, is that we drop you if we get a Seattle team. And oh my God, I'd be so happy.
Sockeye.
Also, Brad Oman, shout out to high school buddy here, texted me today and said that the official Ultimate Frisbee team for the city of Seattle is called the Seattle Sockeye.
Is that true?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. So anyway, guys, Facebook...
Hopefully that's not a registered trademark.
I think that they could probably trump the Ultimate Frisbee Association.
I don't know, man.
I mean, its acronym is UFA. Anyway, guys.
It sounds like a Norwegian getting socked in the stomach.
From a sockeye?
Yeah, exactly. Tail whip.
All right, guys. Well, I think we did this TurboCast in under an hour. Of course, we're going to get to recommendations, but our only reco this week is go to Kickstarter.
Oh, please, please. It would mean so much to me.
And support the Lovecraft Brewing Company, guys.
Lovecraft, one word.
Lovecraft,
one word. Lovecraft.
Brewing Company. And then get in touch with us for next week's show. Be sure to watch our Skype coverage. I'm going to be live streaming the fantasy football draft tomorrow with Aaron. It's going to be me and Aaron live draft live streaming that. So check for that on our pages. And yeah, send us an email. You know the drill. Keep your eyes peeled. We got a ton of stuff for you guys. We love you. You are our listeners. You are the nation. You are the Personal Arrogance Nation. And we couldn't be more excited that your passport has been stamped with our stamp. That sounded better in my head, but I guess it's time to go, guys. Remember that until next time, wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please
stay
arrogant. Lovecraft Brewing Company.
Thank you.